Friends, I want to bring to your attention the words that we have in verse 24. That Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah, it says. It's the word Jehovah Shalom. We've gone for some weeks now looking at the names of God given in the Old Testament, specifically names that are ascribed to Jesus Christ, the Savior. And through it, I want to, as always, bring the message of God, the gospel and salvation to you. For the Christian, that is a great encouragement. But for those of you who are yet not converted, it is the only word of hope for your soul. You could go somewhere else. You could be anywhere else. And people might make you laugh. People might tell stories. They might tell about themselves. And all sorts of things can happen. You could be far away. But my friends, remember, you're here now by God's grace. God directed your path. And may this word come to you then. Pray to God. Lord, speak to me this morning. Now, the word of God before us speaks of the name of Jesus, which is Jehovah Shalom. Jesus Christ is God, Jehovah, and he's also Shalom. Shalom means peace. It means, if you have margins in your Bible, it gives the literal meaning of it as the Lord is peace. And this is what I want us to think about. Peace that only God can bring. Would you have peace? Would you like to have peace? Real peace, peace in your heart, peace in your soul, peace in your mind, peace in your conscience? Or are you carrying a great burden upon your heart? You are maybe guilty about some things that nobody else knows about. You have been doing things in the secret. You have been thinking things in your mind. And you are so glad that nobody else has seen you. Maybe that has been like a burden on your soul. You're carrying this great heavy rucksack that nobody else sees. Maybe there are issues in relationships here this morning. Maybe there are problems in families. Well, which families don't have problems? We are always under this strain. What do we need? We need this peace that only God gives. You're here and you have been anxious overnight. You have not been sleeping well. Things have happened. You've been shedding tears. All sorts of things. I don't know, but God knows. And we thank God for that. That the Lord knows. How can you have peace? This world in which you are living in, you look around, you see the people who should have peace, they don't have peace. People who have the money and all the resources and power, they don't have peace. The marriages are breaking up. And they are falling apart. Our politicians, the royal family, all these people, many within the church, those who go and to places of worship. My friends, the only one who can bring about peace is the Lord. Jehovah Shalom. There are a number of things I want to speak to you this morning in the time that we have. First is this. Why we have no peace. Why we have no peace. Yes, you might say it is very negative. But we need to think about that. Why there is no peace in this world. Secondly, I want to say something about our peace with God. And thirdly, very briefly, I will speak about our peace with one another. And then our peace within. So we think about Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. That's the subject. And there are four things. Why we have no peace. Secondly, our peace with God. Thirdly, our peace with one another. And fourthly, our peace within. So here we are told God is our peace. The Lord is our peace. Jehovah Shalom. That's what Gideon established there. He built an altar there unto the Lord, it says in verse 24, and called it Jehovah Shalom. let me say to you some words of background to this. What was happening here? Why is this man Gideon where he is? Why does he do this? You see, Gideon was a man who longed for peace. You see, because the children of Israel, and we read it at the beginning, the children of Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord. They had done evil and sinned against God by what? By worshipping ultimately self. They wanted to do their own thing. They were worshipping at the altar of Baal, the false gods. People do that today. All kinds of false ideas and views and things. And people say, well, I won't believe the Bible. I'll believe this thing and that thing. And yet God had delivered them from the hands of those who were wicked. He had delivered them from Egypt, from bondage. And yet Israel did not learn their lessons. They carried on. And so God delivered them into the hands of the wicked and evil tribe that is called the Midianites, and also the Amorites and so on. And they and for 7 years, Israel knew nothing but war. They were in a state of fear. Like many other of the Jews, Gideon, the son of Joash, was hiding in a cave. He planted a small field of wheat, and by a wine press, he was hiding from the Midianites. Working on his little patch of wheat, hiding in a lonely mountain cave. It wasn't a happy life. It wasn't a joyful life. He longed for peace. You would do too. And yet he was a brave man. The Lord calls him the man of valor, and which means a brave man. And he knew that the only way of peace was reconciliation, making peace, not with the Midianites, but with God. He knew that Israel would never have peace until Israel returned to Jehovah, the true and the living God. And Israel did return. How did they return? Why did they return? Because of God's gracious chastisement. There are some people who say, well, God doesn't hurt people. God doesn't lead us in a certain way that we are hurt. Well, he did send the Midianites. There are things that happened that made their life bitter. And there are certain things in your life that has brought you closer to God because of those winters in your life. Those hard days in your life, maybe that's why you're here this morning. The reason you're here, because of those things, those challenges. And you are not a happy man. Well, my friends, we don't come into a place of worship because all is going well with us. If all this was going well with us, we would be far away. We would not think about the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have not come for the righteous, but I've come for sinners. I've not come for those who are whole. But those who have sensed their disease of sin, that's why. But here, the Lord had chastised them and had sent the chastisement and chastised them. Israel had been impoverished. They had nothing because of the Midianites. And often it is through these things that happens that we see Israel starts to seek the Lord. So their life was miserable. And you have to ask yourself the question, every time that bad things happen, every time that you are in trouble, am I walking right in the sight of God? Do I trust as a saved sinner in the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I a forgiven sinner? Is God calling me to himself through this? You ought to ask yourself this question. But also, to recognize that you're living in a world of sinners. This world is not paradise. It is under a great curse. There are some things that has nothing to do with you, and you fall into it because of that. So why do bad things happen? Because of our sin. That's why. But also because the world is under God's curse. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Now, going back to the account here, when they had come, as it were, to their wits' end, they were desperate. The children of Israel, it says in verse 6, that the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They were so desperate now. Then the Lord sent a prophet to the people to promise them deliverance. God spoke by this prophet and said, I am the Lord your God. That's in verses 7 through to 10. I am the Lord your God. Fear not. You don't need to fear because I am your God. Is God yours? Do you know him personally? He says to us, do not fear. And while Gideon was working in his field one day, meditating on these words of the prophet, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, which is recorded in verse 12, and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee. And then verse 14, it says, thou shalt save Israel. You are going to save Israel. In verse 16, he says, surely I will be with thee. So what is God saying to him? God is saying, I am with you. You will be used to save my people. And surely I will be with you. So by his hand, God would deliver his people through Gideon from the Midianites. And he would establish peace in Israel. And he did. And I hope I don't need to tell you, my friends, maybe those of you who are not so familiar with the Bible and the teaching of the Word of God, that this angel of the Lord is no one else other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The pre-incarnate Christ appeared. And you see, it is only God the Son who appears physically. And he appeared. He's called the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Emmanuel, God with us, is here. And you see, before the birth of Jesus, Jesus existed. He didn't came about just at his birth, but he's the eternal God. And and so he appeared physically. He was there in the garden with Adam and Eve. He walked with them, talked with them. And so in verse 12, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared, which is, again, angel means a messenger of God appeared. And then in verse 14, you're told that this angel is called Jehovah, the Lord. And the Lord looked upon him. Jehovah looked upon him. But he was the angel. It's Christ. And so now, thinking about the matter of peace, what is described here? Jehovah Shalom. You ask yourself the question, well, why don't we have peace? Why didn't these people have peace? And as I said to you, it is because of this very fact, because this world is like a shattered glass. There are some wonderful things you see, but it's all broken up. You can't fix it. You can't glue it together. You can't do it. Only God can fix things, and what he does, he fixes individuals. He doesn't fix buildings, but he doesn't just fix our hearts with glue. He changes the heart. It gives you a new heart, the scripture says. He gives you new birth. You are born again. And that is what you and I need. You see, by birth, you and I have been born with a sinful nature. That's why no one sat with you to teach you bad things. That's always the case. You know, the psychologist of today would say, well, no, it's all your environment and things like that. But that's not true. That's not what the scripture says. Ultimately, it's the natural state of heart. And we go naturally against the God who is holy. And so we are under his condemnation. That's what Jesus Christ said. He said to the people, you're already condemned in John chapter 3. You're condemned already, but he said, I have not come to condemn. I've not come to condemn. But you're already condemned by what? By the law of God, the Bible. When you read it, it makes you feel awful. For some of you, you read it, as I have done, and you read James. If you think very well of yourself, you read James and you come tonight and you'll feel awful about yourself. So it's a bitter medicine. It's like my mother used to give us this green stuff when I was in Iran. And you would have cold and sore throat and things like now. And And she would pinch my nose and I had to open my mouth and she would shove this very bitter medicine into my mouth and we would be feeling sick and everything. It was supposed to do us good, but, and it did us good, I hope. But it is like that. You read the scriptures and it is bitter to the soul. It makes you feel awful, but it is the right medicine for the soul. And God doesn't just make you feel awful, but then it would heal the soul. Through what? Through Jesus Christ. That's what you need. So it doesn't just tell you, you'd have to fix your life now. From tomorrow, you get up and have a cold shower and you do this and you do that. And people do that. That's false religion does that. And you try your best and try, and another time you fall. You try again. But my friends, the remedy is found only in Jesus Christ. You cast your whole soul on Him. You trust in Him only. And your heart must be trusting in Him alone. Not on your works. Not on saying, well, I'm doing these religious things. No. That will not do. It's only a bandage that doesn't heal the wound. The wound must be healed by the blood of Jesus Christ only. And so this angel comes. And in the midst of the time, everyone was fearful. There was no peace in the land. And you see, this angel becomes the mediator. It becomes the mediator. He comes with a message from heaven. What's a mediator? It's someone who intervenes. It's someone who comes between you and God. It's a go-between. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is, or who He is. It is by Him that peace comes. It is by a mediator, a go-between, that peace would be accomplished. Through Jesus, peace will be achieved. So people are going around so many times in the world, in the nations. They want to be reconciled. They write a letter of peace, an agreement. They all sign on it, and then they break it all together again. So what does Gideon do? It's a strange thing he does. He goes and makes a sacrifice. In verses 19, it says he goes and makes ready a kid. What's a kid? It's not a child. It's a baby goat. That's what it is. So he kills a goat. He makes it ready and brings it and offers a sacrifice and worships God. So once God had accepted his sacrifice and promises then Gideon peace and life. You look at verses 22 and through to 24. It says there, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee." That's where peace comes. But before that, what did he do? In verse 20, and the angel of God said unto him, "Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. This was an offering that he was making. And it was after that, he says, "Peace be upon thee." What is peace? When two brothers are fighting. They've been fighting. And they're angry with each other. And then one of them, they realize that this can't go on. And one realizes that he's been wrong. And so then he goes and asks for forgiveness. And then it is that when the other forgives, then reconciliation is made. Then peace is made. There is no more fighting. That's peace. When two countries have been fighting, when they stop fighting, when they promise to one another that they will not fight anymore, there is peace. And that's the word shalom. Shalom. The Jews would both greet one another with the word shalom, and they say goodbye to one another with the word shalom. The peace of God be upon you. So that is what we wanted to just think about. Why is there no peace in this world? I hope you take that on board. But here, secondly, our peace is to be with God. Our peace must be with God first. People are trying to sort out problems between each other. First, sort out your issue with God. then it is that God who changes your heart and enables you to be at peace with others too. You see, when God made first man, that first man, Adam, in the garden, theirs was love, perfect love. They had peace, they had harmony between God and man. They walked together in the garden and they spoke as friends. But as soon as Adam sinned, a quarrel began. That quarrel continues. Adam, by his peace, broke the peace. And ever since then, since that time, there has been a quarrel between God and man. And that's a serious thing, if you think about it. And it's a mutual quarrel. We are at fight with God, and God is at fight with us. And this is what the scripture says. God is angry with man, and man is angry with God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, we read that the carnal man, that is the earthly man, that is a non-spiritual man, a person who is not a true Christian, is at enmity against God. He's an enemy of God. That's what he's saying. For it is not subject to the law of God. He doesn't want God's rule in his life. Neither indeed can be, it says. So it's a mutual quarrel, and also it's a universal quarrel. All of the sons and daughters of Adam, without exception, are born as children of wrath, the book of Romans says, or Ephesians says. If you read Ephesians 2 and verse 3, it speaks about the whole mankind. They've been born the children of wrath. What does that mean? They're born fighting against God. There's no innocent child in this world. And then God's wrath is on them too. That's what it means. And as I said, God is angry as well. And yes, of course, God speaks about, or the Bible speaks about the God who loves. God is love. But let us be clear that the Bible also speaks about God's anger over unbelievers and those who are not saved. And it is a hard thing, but it is true. In Psalm 7 and verse 11, you read, God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. God loves the righteous and hates iniquity, or righteousness, and he hates iniquity and sin. In Christ, God is love. Out of Christ, God is a consuming fire. And that's why the preaching of the gospel is so important, to call people to come to Christ. Under him, under his wings, there is safety. But if you're by yourself, you're like a ship without a rudder. You're just going without any map. And you will drown in this ocean of God's wrath. But in Christ, you're secure. Friends, all people, by nature, that's their estate. And you might think, well, there's some good in everybody. Well, let me read to you from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Now, it doesn't paint a nice picture of you and me, does it? And it continues to grow and grow and grow. We don't get better at it. We get worse at it. And I could speak about, quote you from Hosea that speaks about this growth in bitterness and anger. In Hosea chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2 speaks about that God has a controversy against the people. And the scripture says this to us, that these sins that we commit, they are debts. We're gathering up debts. I hope you don't have any debts. But more than that, I hope you don't have this spiritual debt that the Lord speaks about. Our sins are like debts. We are taught to pray, don't we? Forgive us our debts. Because sin, through that, we are indebted to God. We owe God. We have to repay. But we can't pay out and pay our debts to God, can we? And so there is punishment for it. Our sins are like trespasses. We can trespass. I was saying this morning to someone that I was caught in Dublin And I was arrested once because I was trespassing in Dublin. I won't go into all the details for it, but I have a red mark on my passport book when I was caught. And I was preaching in the Isle of Man at the time. But it was because I was trespassing. Without realizing, I didn't intend to, but they said, you have broken the law. And I had. It was right for them to arrest me. So I was at the fault. But that's what trespassing is. Is you are now walking on the territory, walking in a land which you are not allowed to. You see, the Word of God, the Bible, is like a hedge around us. It's like a fence. You put up fences to protect yourself, to keep us in. That's what the Lord does. Keep us near Him. But we break out through the fences. And we break them down. And we have gone over. We have gone over. We have transgressed the law of God. We have gone and we rob of Him things. He blesses us and we take things from Him and we don't give Him thanks. We don't follow Him. We could go on to speak about these things. We can be like Pharaoh. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? And yet the Lord has been so kind to us. He's been so patient with us. When you didn't pray, He has still kept you. When you never prayed and thanked Him, He still brought to you sunshine and rain. And you have a heart that beats and a mind that thinks. And so many wonderful things. You have friends and family. All just natural blessings. God is very good to us. And yet we have this quarrel against Him. We blame Him for everything. If this quarrel is not taken up, if this quarrel between us and God is not settled down, it will be an everlasting quarrel, my friends. An everlasting quarrel. You see, death puts an end to all other fights, but not this one. By dying, some people think, oh, it will just be all over. This one quarrel will not be over, dear friends. Death only brings the sinner into a state of everlasting misery and torment in hell. And that's why it is not preached very much. That's why it is not spoken, because it's not a nice thing. I don't find it easy to preach on these things, but it's important. And the Apostle Paul says, That knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And my friends, God will forever hate and punish and torment His enemies. And so what should I do? What should I do as a blasphemer? I went through 17, 18 years of my life blaspheming God, taking His name in vain. And I feel so ashamed of it. And you think to yourself, well, I've done all of these things, and what should I do? I should bring down all of these weapons, all of these things that I'm firing at God, all of these, the border that I've put up in, and the barrier that I've put up in front of me, so God doesn't reach me. I am going to bring it all down and confess my sins to God and say, Lord, have Thine own ways with me. Forgive me of my sins. I've been rejecting Thee all my life. Sinned against Thee all of these days. And this burden on my back is so great. It is crushing me down. That's how we ought to be asking God to forgive us. And then run to Jesus Christ. That's what you should do. By faith. And that's how it is. And Christ has said, He's promised you that. He will forgive. He will pardon all those who have humbled themselves. The difficult thing is that we don't humble ourselves. We still think we are all right. We still think we can manage. Don't think like that, dear friends. Here, Gideon had been in a state of fear. Gideon and the nation of Israel had sinned against God and had fallen into all of these things. And yet God comes to them. They don't go to God. God comes to them. And He shows them mercy. He sent this angel of the Lord, who is Christ. And He brings His salvation. Friends, do you think on these things? You see, the scripture speaks about the reconciliation that God brings. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5. God was in Christ. How did he do that? Jesus Christ had to be crushed. Jesus Christ had to suffer shame. People nailed him to the cross. That's how. God was all the time crushing, squeezing his son, pouring his anger and wrath that we should deserve. And he was pouring the fires of hell, as it were, on his son. That's why the sky went black when Jesus died. And he was dying as a mediator. He was dying as a substitute. Why was that? So that we might be set free. That's the amazing grace of God. It doesn't mean that God is not holy. It doesn't mean that God doesn't punish sin. But where did God deal with our issue of sin? Was at the cross. That's how God puts the quarrel away. That's how God brings reconciliation. He pays for it himself. But all of my sins that I had sinned against him, all of my hating him, all of me doing my own thing, God was in Christ reconciling me to himself. The name of the Lord is Jehovah Shalom. Christ is the Lord, our peace. And Jesus Christ removes that hatred that we have toward God. Maybe your heart is at the moment bitter and cold and angry. Well, it's only Jesus Christ can do that. You see, psychology will not do that. Taking pills will not do that. Alcohol will not do that. They are temporary bandages. And so what we need is a living physician to come and bring about and do a surgical operation on the soul. That's what you and I need. And the Lord is willing, praise God, to receive guilty sinners in peace. And once peace is made, it is made forever. The terms of peace are easy and clear. Faith in Christ, surrendering to him, to King Jesus, repenting of sin and turning and following after him. Now, something else is that our peace with one another as well. Jehovah Shalom is our peace with one another. And the next two points are very short. When men and women are at peace with God, then of course they are also at peace with one another. Because the person becomes gentle. The person becomes forgiving. The person becomes loving. And as our Lord Jesus Christ said, to love your enemies. That's what the person does. Love your neighbor, the Lord Jesus said. And where Jehovah Shalom is known and worshipped, there it is that peace reigns. Oh yes, Satan will come and your natural flesh would come to divide that and destroy that. But you always have access to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. Because he said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, Jesus Christ, he breaks down the barriers between people. He brings love into our hearts for each other. And then it is that he brings peace. Do you love your fellow man? Do you love your brothers, sisters? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your enemies? Do you seek to do them good? Or do you love those who are kind to you, friendly to you? But if you're a Christian, this is the great challenge, isn't it, that our Lord Jesus Christ gives. And then there is this peace that the Lord says. He is our peace within as well. Not just with God, not just with people around us, but within us there is peace. So when all is well with me and with God, I have peace. I have this inward calm. There is this composure. There is this cheerful heart. The Lord Jesus often said, be of good cheer. Do you know what it means? It has to do with your heart. It says have a strong heart. And that's what, because there is the seat of your emotion, your heart. And the Lord says, be at peace in your heart. In all of your circumstances, in under all condition. That's what the miracle that God does in us. And so you see a Christian who is having major, major problems in life, and yet you see them sink. Some of you are here. I know your state to some degree. I know you probably have had a very bad week last week, and yet I see you singing. Why are you doing that? It's because of the Lord. Lord working in you. It's a miracle. You wouldn't be here if it was down to you. But the Lord brought you. He inclined your heart. And that's a miracle. Why is it that so many people aren't here? It's because that work of grace has not been done. They're busy with other things. They're becoming more and more and more and more bitter. I'm talking about the unconverted. And yet Jesus Christ gives us peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee, Isaiah says. So what's the source of this peace within? Jehovah Shalom, Jesus himself, the Prince of Peace, the scripture says. And so, my friends, we go to him. That's why we preach him. That's why we love him. And we commend him to you, dear friends. I don't commend you to yourself. Like me, you are, as the hymn says, a wretch like me. I don't commend myself to you. I don't commend my experiences to you. But I commend Jesus Christ to you. That's the source of our hope and joy. So is he your peace? Is he your Jehovah Shalom? And if Jesus Christ is my peace, then I trust him alone for my entire salvation. I don't say, well, he has done 99% of the work and I'll do that 1%. No, I say he's done 100% for my salvation. If Jesus Christ is my peace, my sin now has become my enemy. Before I loved it. Before I never thought about it. But now the sin I shun. I hate it. Even though I do it, it always leaves a bitter taste. If Christ is my peace, I am in my heart reconciled to God. That's another thing. What a joy, what a comfort to be reconciled to God. I don't have to worry about that anymore. If Christ is my peace, I will take great care as well to always keep the peace. Keep the peace. Guilt in the soul is like dust in the eye, one Puritan says. There is no ease until it is wept out. If Jesus Christ is my peace, dear friends, if he is my Jehovah Shalom for my soul, I must prepare for war. I must prepare for war. You see, there are the Midianites in your life. There are the Amalekites in your life. There are all kinds of pools in your life. You need the Prince of Peace in your life then. And you are at war until you die. This world is not a peaceful world, but heaven is. Heaven is a peaceful world. So, my friends, the Lord is here then. Jehovah Shalom. Let me finish with the words of Horatius Bonner. I hear the words I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. Amen.